Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Currency Exchange, a NatWest Markets podcast all about foreign exchange markets. And if you happen to be watching on YouTube, you'll notice that we are all in studio together because we are happy to have Eimear Daly in town, who normally is in our London office, joining us here in New York this week. And we also have Alvaro Vivanco, two of our EM strategists here at NatWest. They have been on the road in the East Coast U.S., talking to U.S. investors, FX-focused clients, all about emerging markets this week. Obviously, we've had some pretty big moves in emerging markets recently. You know, it's been a pretty positive year overall, but recently some of that has come into question a little bit. Alvaro, I want to start with you. What are some of the broad takeaways that you've been hearing from accounts that you guys have been speaking to about emerging markets this week?
Thank you, Brian. Yeah, no, it's been very interesting to talk to clients these past few days. I think in general, the sense is that there is a little bit less optimism about emerging markets, probably to some extent as a reaction of the pressures and the sell-off that we have seen over the last couple of weeks. But in general, right, especially investors who specialize in emerging markets are, I think, for the most part, still invested, especially on the bond side, right? The idea and the rationale has been that inflation in the emerging markets is coming down quite nicely. That has given the room for central banks to start the easing. And as a result of that, there's still a lot of optimism that that will translate into lower yield curves across the end. So I would say for the most part, you know, people still kind of believe the story that EM is converging toward lower rates because of lower inflation. But there's definitely a lot of questions, both globally. And the big concern, I will say, is still about what the Fed will do over the next few months, right? We had the inflation print in the US this morning. We've seen a lot of resilience of the labor market, something that you have been pointing out, Brian, in terms of your dollar view. And it just makes people uncomfortable, right? I think that eventually we see some sort of slower growth in the U.S. that will take a little bit of the pressure off from the Fed. But that's definitely at the top of the mind for EM investors is, you know, this pretty significant repricing that we saw in dollar rates until last week. Things are, you know, changing since then a little bit. But, you know, how can EM sustain itself when you have the competition from dollar rates and the dollar that is definitely different than it had been over the past few years. I think medium to long term, people still believe in emerging markets as an asset class. I think the next few months will be critical to see how that is sustained or not and what the challenges are. From our part, just to highlight, we continue to be fairly defensive on the FX side, especially in currencies of central banks that have started to ease. We see this decline in carry to volatility ratio. So volatility has picked up in a few crosses. That makes it a bit more concerned about, you know, some outflows out of, especially on the currency side. So, you know, our stance is still to be fairly defensive and long dollars against some of these currencies.
I think it's interesting, this almost dichotomy between, like you said, a desire to remain long on the local bond side, on the fixed income side, but maybe a little bit more hesitancy on the currency side, where certainly, as you said, there's higher competition from higher rates and with it higher volatility here in the US. I did want to ask you, focusing on FX, what do you think the consensus is and what do you think positioning is? Because we know, especially in emerging markets where carry differentials can be very high, sometimes you do get this difference where the consensus is maybe leaning a bit short, but doesn't want to actually be outright short because of, like you said, perhaps being invested in local fixed income, or simply doesn't want to pay the carry to be in those short positions. So wondering, do you get a sense that the market is sort of leaning one way in terms of the consensus, but may actually still be positioned another way?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we are a little bit off from the peak of EM bullishness, both in terms of consensus views and positioning. But I think we came into the summer this year with people having very extended carry trades, meaning that they were long the high carry currencies, you know, across regions, both in LATAM and some in CEMEA as well. You know, if we were at a 9 and a 10, I would say maybe now were down to maybe a 6 or 7 in terms of, you know, the views out there. I think in positioning, there's been very little actual outflows that we monitor out of these currencies. I think the sell-off took place on relatively small volumes. I think this is kind of the ultimate question, that we definitely have not seen kind of a big capitulation out of EM. We've seen big moves, right, in some of the currencies when you know, compare to where we were back in June, July. It's a pretty significant sell-off, but it doesn't feel like most of that long positioning that was built really over the last couple of years, right, as EM central banks have started hiking rates a lot. I don't think that, you know, that has been cleaned up as much as it should, and that's, you know, one of the reasons we are still on the defensive side.
I think it's super interesting, this idea versus relative or absolute interest rate differentials when it comes to a lot of these EM currencies, where sure, the differentials versus the US may be getting worse as you get higher yields in the US, but at the same time, there's still yield pickup to be had there, and there is positive inflation developments that are helping out there. So super interesting contrast, and very interesting to hear how the US investors are sort of approaching this sort of difficult period here. Emer, I want to bring you in now. I know your focus is on Central Eastern Europe, Middle East, Africa, the CEMEA currencies, and certainly this week, the one that really jumps to the front page, front and center for the mind of investors, is what happened in Israel over the weekend with the attack from Hamas. I want to ask you about how sort of your thoughts on some of the questions I asked Alvaro about, you know, what are clients telling you, what is sort of the consensus on your region specifically, but I also want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about what happened in Israel and what do you think that means from a currency investor perspective, you know, for the shekel.
Yeah, it was really interesting dynamics kind of on that market open. So obviously, kind of the immediate market reaction was really to sell the shekel. And I should say, going into this, because of concerns kind of over domestic politics, stuff like judicial reform, you know, the currency was already trading at a 6-year low. So to some extent, I think that did dampen the extent of the sell-off. But, you know, by the end of Monday, the currency had lost 2.5% against the US dollar. And that was stymied by a pretty substantial central bank FX intervention program. So they announced kind of $30 billion in terms of outright spot market intervention, but also an extension, $50 billion in terms of FX swap. So that is significant. And I think it really will deter any kind of would-be FX speculator really from going against the currency. And it's interesting, you know, the reaction that's had. We've definitely seen, you know, the central bank coming into the market, really trying to kind of minimize the sell-off and to reduce volatility in the currency. And that has worked, you know, since Monday. It's basically been very stable. But I think kind of more telling actually is in the rates market, where, you know, prior to the events of the weekend, actually, the rates market had been pricing in some probability of an interest rate cut. An interest rate cut is one way to support a currency in kind of extenuating circumstances such as this. We obviously saw extreme, you know, interest rate hikes in the aftermath of Ukraine, both from Russia and from the Ukrainian central banks, really to kind of re-underpin their currencies. Actually, in Israel, because markets are really so convinced that the central bank does have the reserves, does have the ammunition to support the currency, the market's now pricing in a considerable chance of rate cuts, that actually the government or the central bank will be able to support the economy with interest rate cuts. I think, you know, short term, the focus is kind of on that 4 level. You know, the question of will that hold? Will the central bank be able to defend that level? We think they will. They have the reserves. I mean, at the moment, FX reserves relative to GDP are 30%, so 30% of GDP, which is sizable. I think the longer term question is over, you know, how long will this go on? Because obviously, there is a significant, you know, economic cost in terms of, and also kind of financial costs. Obviously, they have to kind of afford the weaponry and its significant kind of disruption to the normal functioning of the economy. So the big thing kind of long term is actually, will the authorities try to orchestrate another devaluation of the currency? There's a number of reasons why you wouldn't want anyone to think that your currency is kind of being artificially overvalued. You know, it would stop exporters from kind of repatriating foreign exchange reserves. It would also kind of deter would-be investors in your economy. And Israel are in a good place in terms of, you know, they never had much of an inflation problem. Inflation is currently around the 4% levels. They would be able to stomach, you know, any potential further devaluation. But we do think, you know, as opposed to it being kind of the result of speculative attacks on the currency, would actually be within their remit. They would make that decision. And it's very much a function of actually how much longer will this fighting last.
Yeah. And I think from the global perspective, one of the biggest impacts, you know, of the attacks, the horrific attacks there over the weekend, was the international markets took out quite a bit of expectation for future pricing from central banks. It helped take a little bit of pressure off of, say, long-term yields. Now, it's not certainly the only factor why U.S. long-term yields have found some support this week. There's also been some more cautious discussion from the Fed that I think is fed in. But I think the markets have seen these developments and thought maybe this is the kind of thing that increases risk, that maybe the Fed and other central banks don't have to continue to be aggressive in hiking cycles. And I think that's almost certainly also playing a role, not just in the shekel reaction, but in the broader EM reaction. So I just want to ask you as well, Emer, outside of Israel, I know, you've been talking to investors this week all about CBDC currencies, or focus on what are some of your top views and what are you hearing in terms of expectations around your region?
Yeah, I think similar to Alvaro, I remain bearish. I think it's interesting kind of the market reaction we've had. And it's quite similar to, what we saw in the aftermath of Ukraine, that actually, rates market really pared back expectations for further hikes and price more dovishly. I would say that, in the case of Ukraine, it was very quickly unwound, and we think we would see similar here. Our case, especially in kind of Eastern Europe, is very much that, these economies have been hit both by kind of anemic demand coming from the Eurozone, but also the extreme extent of past tightening that's really kind of compressed demand domestically. And they have, a very clear rationale of, disinflation. Inflation is consistently coming lower. So everything on the central bank's dashboard really justifies coming cuts. And that should mean, in terms of the currencies, that they're offering less carry to investors. In some cases, they're trading historically at elevated levels. So it really underpins our bearish view on the currencies. I think, that's been kind of well understood by clients, but it might be a different kind of argument for local rates. I think on the FX side, just undermine carry really suggests downside.
Yeah, I think it's, these global policy cycles, where we are in the global cycle, where developed markets are relative to emerging markets, has really been one of the biggest themes, not only this year, but looks like it's probably going to be the biggest theme next year as we head into the Fed. Looks like they are either at or close to the end of their tightening cycle. When does that change into an easing cycle? How quickly does that come? How fast does growth slow? That feels like it's going to be super critical, not just for EMFX, but for global FX. So that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank you very much for joining, Alvaro and Emer, and I want to thank everyone for listening as well. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider liking and subscribing to our channel so you can get the latest podcast when it's released. Thanks very much.